Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. I'm your host for today, John. I'm no longer a Jonah. The curse has been broken and we've done it on the best day possible. That is Arsenal 2, those scumbags, 0. Wonderful day, North London derby, superb performance by everyone. Yeah, I'm just in a great mood. Nice to see everyone in the chat box, nice and busy today. Introduce my guests first. We have Carl with us today. How you doing, Carl?
I'm fucking great. We fucking beat Spurs. I hate them so much, it's unreal. So now I'm absolutely happy.
Wonderful stuff. And we have, unbelievable, he's come back for his return. What day to come back on? You thought he'd all gone. He'd been out at sea for so long. He's no longer shipwrecked. He's found his way home. Mr. Chris Carpenter is back.
I am. Hello. What exactly? Everything Carl said, to be fair. As I said pre-pod, John, it's like getting the band back together. It's like Spinal Tap all over again, isn't it?
It's great, mate. It's wonderful.
Good times. Yes.
Yeah, you picked the perfect one to come back for, mate. It's really good.
It's because I knew you were going to win, that's why. I did tell you all last night. You wouldn't listen, would you?
Yeah, you did. To be fair, I didn't actually say, I didn't reply to any of the messages last night. I was just like, I'm not going to say a word. I won't tell you what my prediction was for today, but it wasn't that. I'll say that much. But I'll just say a quick hello to people in the chat. We've got Pablo, Standerman, Medi, Lossless, Walrus and Hedgehog. Who else is in here? And 235, Jim Howson, Kashif Ahmed, all the regulars, all in there. Stephen Edwards, Thunder Road, Alonso. Superb. Right. We'll get straight into it today. Everyone's very happy in the chat box. Everyone's happy on Twitter. It's just a nice day to be an Arsenal fan. First things first, we'll get into the team and the lineup. Carl, thoughts on the lineup today? Mustafi back in the side. Long term, he'd been out for a while with injury, straight back in. And Lacazette did start. I know there was a few people a little bit concerned that maybe one of the front three would be dropped, but they all stayed in today. Happy with that?
Definitely. I thought it was the only team that could be chosen. That is our strongest team, most definitely. You know, I don't think we're going to get, at the moment, a stronger team than that. And we started all our big stars. We started everyone that, you know, were game changers. Everyone that could easily do something in the game to just win it for us. You know, our front three, which is, you know, I think one of the best front threes we've had for a long while. They needed to start. They had to start and play together. And they played well. Xhaka and Ramsey in the middle are our starting centre mid, so it was brilliant. And it was also good to have, you know, Mustafi back. He's part of our strongest back three we've got, so it's all good to see them all start and all play well and all play together brilliantly.
Yeah, it was just everyone today. I thought, you know, there were some really good individual performances as well, which we'll come on to later. But as a team, I thought we were really good today. You're getting lots of love in the chat, Chris. Few people saying I finally let you out of my wardrobe behind me.
Joseph Fritzl Welsh.
Yeah, it's been a running joke this season. People keep asking me what's in there. So, yeah, apparently it was you for a while.
Yeah, I saw a couple. Was it one somebody tweeted a picture of your house, didn't they? And they went, is Chris in the wardrobe? Yeah, yeah.
Great stuff. Yeah, Chris, just same to you, really. We've talked a couple of times already this season without Mustafi, with Mertesacker basically in this team, that it was our strongest available lineup. Do you think that's our best 11 we can put out on any given match day?
Yeah, probably. I mean, obviously, missing out Coquelin is gravely disappointing to me. I kid. No, I think so. Yeah, I think that's the strongest one. I was surprised to see Mustafi back. Not so much surprised as I just thought it was quite a big game to throw him back into, given that he hasn't been out or hasn't been with us for a little while. But no, I think that is the strongest 11 we've got. We'll probably come on to the substitutions and how they annoy everybody later on, because I'm not quite on board with that sort of discussion as much. But yeah, I think that's the strongest lineup you've got available right now. And while that sort of golden trio, as they're being named, are available, I think you've got to pick them at the moment. And the good thing is that when they're available at home, it's a no-brainer. When you're away from home, sometimes it's nice to change the side around, as we did at Chelsea. So I think when you're at home, you just got to play the strongest side, and that's what we did today, and it yielded those results.
Yeah, just the way we line up today, again, keeping the system, we haven't changed to the back four, which I think people felt as the season went on was going to be coming, but stuck with it again today. Put the front three. Was there any surprise from either of you that he did go with that front three today, that he didn't drop one of the three? I know what I felt before the game was obviously changed after seeing the match and the result and everything, but I thought that maybe there was an argument to drop Ozil just because he hadn't quite done the performances. It would have been him or Sanchez, really, because neither of them had been great so far this season. So were you a little surprised at all, Chris, that he didn't maybe chuck in, you know, an Iwobi or even a Welbeck who'd come back from injury and was on the bench today, just to perhaps someone have someone who's more likely to track back?
Welbeck, sorry, was the one that if it was going to happen, I thought he'd be the one, just because Arsenal loves him in these quite sort of big games, and you know what you're going to get from him work rate wise. But I think given the lead up to the game, I definitely want 2 minutes to discuss the press coverage of this game a week, because it's been stupid in the extreme about all these power shifts and all this crap. But I think the manager was under pressure to play his strongest, most attacking lineup. I don't think you can go into a game against that lot at the moment in a defensive formation. So that said before, that the Chelsea game, you could sort of make an argument for it. So yeah, it makes sense to go with a more defensive lineup. When you're at home, pressure's on you, you're looking for the performance, you dictate the play. And the good thing is those front three all pressed as well. And I suppose the frustration will be for a lot of people watching this today is, why can't we do that every week? We all know why, because it's not every week in North London Derby, but they've shown they can do it. And I guess the question will now be, particularly with someone like Meza, who obviously was given man of the match today, is looking at it and going, why can he not do that on a consistent basis? I don't always want him charging around the pitch, but you do just want that little bit of grit and aggression that you got in spades today from him week in, week out.
Yeah, definitely. Looking at them and their lineup, I think the only surprise for me today, Carl, I don't know if you thought it was perhaps Sissoko starting. When I'll admit, before the game, when I saw him in the lineup, I thought, oh no, like, useless footballer, can't pass for anything, but can run all day. And I just thought, if we didn't pass well today, he'd be able to pick us off and run through us. But our passing today was really tight and precise, something we'd be missing most of this season.
Definitely, I thought that. I thought Sissoko, obviously, in the squad, and even Dembele, I thought their midfield was kind of strong. You know, you get them big guys who try to bully, and that's what I thought they tried to do today, but we didn't give them a chance to. That's what I thought. I thought our passing, like you said, John, was really, really good. We was able to sort of pass around them and, you know, make the pitch quite big. You know, Bellerin was sort of hugging that right touchdown, which I really, really liked. You know, not being negative, I didn't think he had the best game, but I thought the things that he did do were just bring their team out of position a little bit, which opens up, you know, the channels for people like Ramsey to run through the middle and Sanchez and people like that. So, you know, even our team shape today was really, really good. You didn't see people sort of charging up the pitch when they shouldn't have been. And like Chris said, Mesut Ozil, he played brilliant today, but no one's going to play at the top of the game every single week. No footballer has ever done that. And, you know, it would have taken a lot out of him. And like Chris said, it was a North London derby. And, you know, you're going to get pumped up. You really are. I think our next game away is Burnley. You know, you can't really compare the North London derby to Burnley. That's not going to happen. I'm not saying that he should take his focus off, but they're two different complete games, which you can't expect someone to charge around a pitch like that every single game.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I totally get that. lots more people in the chat there. Hello. Oh, Rudy's coming as well. Yeah, Stephen Edwards, Jeffrey O'Hara. Hello, everyone. Remember, hit that likes up, that thumbs up button if you're enjoying the show, or thumbs down if you're not. That's fair as well. We don't mind that. Jason loves a thumbs down. Right, we'll get into the game itself. Started off. And I thought we came up with the right attitude, Chris. We were pressing, like you said. And what we've seen in other games where we've seen Alexis chasing after the ball, he's then out of position and no one else is following up. It was very different today. It was the whole team was pressing. Lacazette was pushing with him, really pressuring Eric Dier, so they couldn't distribute from the back. Ozil as well. The whole team moving as one unit. And we weren't giving him any space. And in particular, I thought Eriksen today, especially in the first half, was really not allowed any movement. And in the first 15, 20 minutes, although, you know, it was fairly even possession-wise, I thought that we were the only team who looked dangerous. Spurs didn't really trouble check at all.
No, I think you made some excellent points there. I want to sort of keep it Arsenal heavy, but just two quick things to touch on. with that lot. I've heard people all week on sort of quite high established radio and podcast shows and saying, oh, Christian Eriksen's one of the best players in the world. That's a good one. It's funny, isn't it, how when you don't play against Ireland and you don't have a shitload of space, you don't actually look that good. Funny that, isn't it? And also Eric Dier. What is, I think I tweeted this the other day, what is an Eric Dier and what does it do? I'm not actually sure what it is. But no, I thought both were nullified. And I think it's really important to say that it's not just about the fact that their big players didn't perform. I mean, we know that Kane isn't 100% fit. You know, even I can admit that. Dele Alli is, well, a cheat and amongst other things, but again, didn't look on his game. So you have to kind of caveat that. But I think you have to give us a lot of credit. We didn't give them time. We didn't give them that space. And it's been an all too familiar story in these big games where we have given side space. We have given them time. Even the Man City game, I didn't actually think we were that bad against City, despite all the negative that came out of it. I didn't think we were that bad. But we gave them enough space to make us look bad, if you will. And I just think today we, from the very first whistle, from the pressing game, all the front three were pressing as a whole. Ramsey and Xhaka did what we needed them to do. They were disciplined. You know, that they broke up the play well. My only concern in the first half was, can they do it for the 90 minutes? And they proved they could today. And defensively as well. You know, we have looked shaky in the past. Today, I never really genuinely felt that they were going to score, which I can't remember the last time I said that for a while. I thought there'd be a lot of goals in this game, but I don't really think that we ever gave them a sniff and gave them an opportunity to get back in the game. So yeah, as we said before, just really, really good first half and really, really good performance from the off.
Yeah, there was like the only real moment in the first half I can remember, Carl, was Koscielny and Mustafi going for the same ball. And I think they slightly both misread it, and Harry Kane managed to get it, but they recovered really well. And I thought after that, Koscielny was brilliant, and Mustafi as well in particular today. They really shut him down. And like Chris said, maybe he's not 100% fit, but he's still a goal threat. Everyone knows what he can do. And the defence today was superb. And Cech, although he did make a good save in the second half, didn't really have anything to do, did he?
And that's the testament of a good team performance. When your goalkeeper doesn't have much to do. Apart from what you said, John, the one chance where Mustafi and Koscielny went for the same ball, we nullified Kane. And yeah, like Chris said, we can all admit that Kane wasn't 100% fit, but like you said, he's still a goal threat, and it pains me to say he's still a good player. But the fact that we didn't give him the space, the fact that we didn't give him a chance to show what he can do was brilliant. And I think, like you said, Mustafi today, that's the best I've probably seen him play in an Arsenal shirt. He was absolutely brilliant. And I know we had this sort of running joke about how he slides along the floor all the time. He's always slide tackling, but he made a few slide tackles today that was pivotal. It's absolutely crucial. I think there was one, I think it was over on the left-hand side. I can't remember. I think it was Kane that may have had a shot and he just about slid and blocked it. So, you know, today, I think, you know, Dote's injury, he's had a rest and he's come back. It seems that, you know, he's with a sort of new lease of life. And yes, I'm not going all wild. It's only one game. You know, can you do it on a wet Saturday in Burnley? We'll find out next week. But I think today he was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, long may these sort of performances continue.
Yeah, absolutely. Hello to Stefan and Norma as well. No Limit Stummer, Askew Man as well. A few more in the chat, a few more regulars. Hello, everyone. Mustafi was really good today, and he did stay on his feet quite a few times. But when he did slide in, he made some really good tackles and a few brilliant blocks, especially second half. We got a Man United fan in the chat as well, saying, "Well done, Arsenal. Thank you very much, DLM75. See, so you even get fans from other clubs with a bit of appreciation. Right, we'll get into a bit more of the first half now. Just before the goal scored, we had a couple of sort of half chances. I think the best one was probably Ramsey picking out a really nice pass for a run from Hector and just squared it across for Lacazette today. What did you think of Lacazette first half, Chris, the way he was linking up, the pressure he put on? Because he didn't get too many really clear chances on goal today, but It's one of those games where, as a striker, sometimes you kind of have to sacrifice yourself for the team.
Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, you all know about my lack of love, if you will. And I'll just put it out there now. If we ever do sign for Kieran, the two are in the same side, I think I might explode. But Yeah, he's the thing with Lacazette, that there's a lot of misconceptions with Lacazette, again from people that should know better and just our general fan base. Everybody seems to think he's a quick, on the shoulder, pacey striker. That's not his game. He's very much a sort of a ball 5 to 10 yards in front max type of player. His runs are so good. He's such a good movement based player. And the one thing that I think we maybe haven't necessarily taken advantage of a few times is those runs that he makes, and not just the runs that he makes for the ball that he could receive, but he brings others into the game. And I thought Alexis in particular benefited in the first half from the space he was creating. And the thing with Lacazette as well, I think Thierry Henry made this point, sometimes you can sort of clip it in behind, not over the top because that's not his game, but if you just clip it 4 to 5 yards in front of him, he will run into that space. And we don't always do that, and I think that's something we could look at working on moving forwards to release the front three. But his work rate's very, very good. I know there's a little bit of criticism about that sort of sliding in chance. Some people said, oh, you know, could he have put himself in harm's way a bit more? I think it's one of those things that you've got two players coming from either side. If you get a nick on it, it goes in off his face or his knee, nobody says a thing. So his game is fine for me. I don't have any issues with him being substituted. We'll probably touch on that later on, but he's a hard worker. He's committed and he will get goals for this club. And he's proven that today. And the assist for Alexis, you know, his run made that. And that's something we haven't always had in this front three. So I'm chuffed with him and long may it continue.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to address someone in the chat box. DLM. Yeah. The Man United fan. If you've got something to say, then by all means, just put it in the chat. As long as it's not racist, offensive, you know, anything like that, anyone is welcome in here to have conversation. We like, you know, whether you're an Arsenal fan or a fan from another club, you're more than welcome. But yeah, nothing stupid or yeah, you will get banned, no doubt. Mr. Welsh Justice is hiding in there with the ban hammer ready to go. Before we get on to the goal, because it's kind of linked, I just want to have a little conversation about Mr. Mike Dean today. Carl, you're like me, you're not quite as superstitious as some about referees and perhaps the conspiracy against Arsenal and how the FA hate us and certain referees despise us, but we don't have the best record with Mike Dean. I think he's got, I can't remember how many red cards it is in this fixture he's given out and penalties and the such, but was he a little bit generous to us today? Because some of the decisions, in particular in leading to the first goal, certainly, I felt helped us out a bit. I know we were a bit unlucky and, you know, maybe Spurs should have had some yellow cards and we got a lot more than them. But he wasn't quite pro Tottenham today, was he?
No, he was doing what he should do in all games and being fair. Let's be honest. The free kick that led up to our first goal, if that was on the other end, would we be complaining? Like, fuck, we would. We would absolutely be spitting feathers saying that it wasn't a free kick. He didn't touch him. And to be honest, he didn't. Let's be honest, he didn't really touch him. But, you know, swings and roundabouts, like Mustafi said in his interview, you know, sometimes things go for you, sometimes things don't. And it just so happens that it went for us. I mean, it wasn't a free kick. It wasn't. But, you know, Mike Dean today, I think there was a point where we had three yellow cards and Spurs had none, even though they were fouling us all over the place and they were doing strategic fouls. But at the end of the day, who cares? We managed to capitalize on it. I'm sure we'll talk through the goal in a second. But, you know, Mike Dean is not my favorite referee. To be honest, none of them are my favorite referees, if I'm honest. But at the end of the day, he was fair today. I don't think he overly favoured Arsenal, and I don't think he overly favoured them not either. I think he done what he should do all the time and just refereed the game, tried to be inconspicuous. Didn't quite work because some of the times he wanted to be in the limelight. But, you know, let's be really honest. What led up to the first goal, it wasn't a foul. It wasn't, at least in my eyes, anyway.
Yeah, we'll chat about the actual goal itself. As you said, Carl said, didn't think it was a foul. Personally, don't think it was myself. Either. I thought it was a little bit generous, but we got it. Sometimes you get them, you know, and you take them. So, two questions before we discuss how good the header was. Was it a foul for the free kick and was he offside?
And more importantly, do we care? No, it wasn't a foul for me. It's one of those that you see. I think from Mike Dean's angle, which obviously is probably the greatest angle of all time because it's Mike Dean's, you could sort of see why he gave it. There is a hand across the shoulder. I don't think there is actually a pull of the shirt, but I can kind of see why it would look like there was. It's one of those as well that if the player exaggerates, that there's quite a few exaggerates of contact, wasn't there? The early one with Vertonghen when he went down like a sack of shit when Alexis barely even touched him, was it Ozil, one of the two? But I think it's one of those that the referee, they're only human, and if they see a few players go down quite easily and they give the free kicks, they have to be somewhat consistent. I think that's why I gave it there. He put his body in the way. If that's one of our defenders, we're saying it's not a foul. You know, hold my hands up. I don't think it's particularly a foul. But the delivery, exceptional. And the header, we've got to think about these headers. I think back to the Mertesacker header, the Sanya header, the Bentner header, which for all the stick the Lord gets, it's still one of my favourite all-time North London Derby goals, that towering header from that corner. So I'm not surprised that it was a set piece that undid them. And it was a really good header as well. Really, really, like, he fought for it, got into in the position where he could loop it back across the keeper who had no chance. And is he offside? By the letter of the law, you know, he probably is. I did tweet at the time and said, it does amuse me that the two goals we scored were probably both as offside as the ones we didn't get at Man City and Stoke. So this is why I tend not to go off about referees' decisions, because what goes around comes around. It's not a... you know, it's not an Opta stat that you can use. It's not fact as such, but it's just one of those things. It does often balance itself out. And I think if you're really honest and you said, would you rather have, you know, a goal against Man City in a losing game or the benefit of the doubt in a North London derby? I think you know which one you pick. So I'll take it. I'll hold my hands up and say it probably is offside. But if you go and by the old school rules or the new school rules as they are now, you should give the advantage to the attacker. So I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think by letter of the law, he is offside. I couldn't give a monkey's. I said earlier this season when we were talking about the Man City game and we spoke about what was the one where Lacazette's goal was disallowed? Was that Stoke? That goal we got? Sometimes you get decisions against you and later on in the season you'll get decisions for you. Yes, it doesn't always balance out because sometimes it might be a decision that costs you a game, but I think generally, if you are the better team, even if you get the decision for you, then you know it's fine, because I think everyone agrees that we're definitely the better team today. So even if you said both goals were offside, it doesn't matter. There was only one team that deserved to win it today, and it was definitely us. Carl, so you know, straight after that goal, we kept the pressure up. I was really pleased with the fact we didn't drop off, and we went straight away for a second one, and we saw our favourite Chilean, Alexis, pop up with a goal. Nice assist from Lacazette. He really fired the ball into Alexis, and it was a really clever, you know, the way he managed to take sort of the pace off the ball and then lift it over Lloris. Alexis was really good and back to his best today, wasn't he? He was just a menace throughout the whole game.
And that's the Alexis we know and love. You know, that's the Alexis that's the Alexis we're going to miss, not the one that gives the ball away. And, you know, if and when he does leave, that's what, you know, you're not going to find it. Well, it's very hard to find a replacement like that. Today, I think he's all, and I don't want to overhype him because this is the one game we've got to do it consistently, but he was back to his best today. You know, bullying people, running people down, chasing them down, you know, these flicks and tricks. He can sort of take them off. And I don't know if you noticed today that I think today was the most I've seen him and Ramsey pass to each other in the past, I don't know, three or four games. It seems that whatever, if there was a problem there, whatever it is, it's gone now. It's finished. It's totally done with now. And I think today they were linking up well. He linked up well for everyone today. And, you know, even his yellow card, I love that. I love the fact that he, you know, the desire of trying to get the ball back, trying to tackle. And yellow cards like that, you don't really mind. You know, it's like, well, you know, it shows sort of desire and commitment, whatever, all them words you can use. But today, I think Alexis was very, very good. Like the rest of the team, like all the team, you know, not just Alexis, the whole team played absolutely brilliantly. And like with his goal, I think, like I said, I fired it in, but the control, the fact that he could manage to, he controlled it, but almost miscontrolled it at the same time. But the fact that he still managed to run after the ball, get close to the goal and lift it over Lloris. Let's face it, Lloris is probably what, the second or third best goalkeeper in the league right now. I managed to get it into the goal. Just brilliantly, just shows that, you know, even if he does leave, he's still committed to playing for the club for this season, and still not, he's willing to put his body on the line and, you know, play his best out, play his heart out.
Yeah, it was just really clever play to, from him today, and full commitment from him. I've got to say, my favourite bit was definitely the, I don't know, it was like 5 minutes from the end, and he's chasing the ball down, he can't get it, and he just slides on his chest, just in frustration because he couldn't score the goal. That's why I love Alexis, because you could be 10-0 up and he'd still be that annoyed that he didn't score another one. That's the kind of performance I really want to see from him. And that kind of really summed up the first half. I thought we were better than them. We were quicker to the ball. You know, we pressured them well. We didn't let them play out from the back. I thought defensively we were very solid. Other than the Koscielny Mustafi sort of little mistake, I didn't think there was too much wrong. So going in at half time, Chris, how were you feeling when you went into half time and with the second half coming up? Is there anything you wanted to change, or were you more than happy and felt very confident going into the second half?
You know me, John, I'm always the optimist, but like I said earlier, I genuinely did feel that we were comfortable. The trouble is, as you both know, as Arsenal fans for 20 odd years plus, you never feel confident, even at 4-0 away at Newcastle once upon a time. So you do always feel that we have a mistake in us. We have a stupid moment in us. And I always liked it when you 2-0 up, I always like to get around about 65 minutes before I sort of go, okay, that's all right now. I know it only takes a second to score a goal, as my old granddad used to say, but at 65, teams start to get a little bit, you can almost feel like you've broken them, where they haven't got back into the game early, whereas an early goal second half, the whole game changes, it all swings. And I think most players as well, when you get to sort of 65, 70 minutes, they look at it and think, right, we're 2-0 up. We just got to keep the ball for a bit and just take the sting out of it. And that's what we did today. And that's what's quite pleasing. We actually managed the game. And I think if you'd have asked most, or if you'd have surveyed most Arsenal fans and said we would win today, you might have got a fair amount of people saying, yeah, but with a clean sheet, I'm not sure how many would have said, yeah, I'm confident of that. So that's something to build on. I know we haven't played brilliant sides, but what's that, 11 straight wins at home now? You know, I think we're a long way from making it a quote-unquote fortress, but you can only beat the teams that turn up. I will never give that lot credit as long as I've got a breath in my body, so I won't say they're a top side because they're not and they've won nothing, but they are one of the better sides in the league, and you have to put them away. And as Carl said earlier on, we now have to look at Burnley, and, you know, we've got to continue this. We've got Man United the week after that. So it's all about
first week of December, isn't it? United, I think.
Yeah. So like we have to build on it. And obviously with the points differential, is it, I think we're a point now behind them, or 2 points max. So all of a sudden, from all this Pochettino world-class manager and, you know, the next big thing and all this crap I've had to listen to a week, ultimately they've yet again failed in a big game, and we've pulled out a performance right when the manager's under the most pressure. So I'm pretty pleased that we were able to manage that game in the way we did.
Yeah, absolutely. Personally, yeah, I was very strange going into a half time, and I was confident because that just hasn't been the case at all this season so far. So I was really happy with the performance. Second half, no changes, came out and just kept it up, Carl, didn't we? I thought it was going to be maybe we'd drop off a little bit, sit back a bit, but we kept up the pressure and kept pressing.
Exactly, and that's what I liked about this Arsenal team, because usually people come out 2-0 confident, as in, yeah, the game's wrapped up now, you start, it's almost like the 55, 60th minute, you start doing more the flicks and tricks and long passing because you think that the game's all wrapped up, but we didn't. We still kept it tight, we kept it compact, we kept still chasing them down, hurrying them, making them make mistakes, and that's what I like to see. And it was, as the game sort of went on, your confidence grew, and just like Chris said, it's not something that I can say that I've had in the last maybe 3 or 4 seasons, but today I felt there was never an opportunity where I felt we was going to lose. Like, there's never a time where I thought, oh God, like, oh, I'm nervous now, because if they get one back, because even if they got one back, I genuinely thought we'd be able to go out and score another one. And even today, I felt that 2-0 we could have got so many more, and by many more, I think we could have got at least four today if we had put away our chances. But you know, you're not going to score every single chance that you have, and that's understandable. But today, I felt that we could have gone on if we really wanted to and scored so many more, because we controlled the game. We had controlled the game. Like, I saw the stats after the game, and they had more possession than us, but didn't feel like it. It didn't feel like they did, because even the possession they did have, they didn't do anything with it. You know, there was a time when they had more shots on goal, but still, I can't imagine, I can't think of a time where Czech was overly troubled. You know, the shots on goal were wild, high and wide, and they didn't trouble us. But today, I just felt that we totally controlled the whole game, and that's what we like to do against, like Chris said, one of the better sides in the league. It's not often that we do that, and just hopefully now we can do that against the lesser teams in the league and go on and sort of, I don't suspect we're going to win the league, I'll be honest with you, but at least try and fight our way up the table, because as long as we're amongst it, you just don't know what could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. So DLM again. No, you don't have to leave, mate. You're more than welcome to stay. You haven't said anything offensive or annoyed anyone. Obviously people in here are just going to talk about Arsenal. That's the only thing. Although someone did ask you about Zlatan, so I'm sure you can answer that for him. So second half, really, I thought we just controlled the tempo really well. Chris, you mentioned about the 65th minute. Just before that, we had, what's that English kid called? Harry Winks, is that his name?
He's the second greatest player of all time behind Ruben Loftus-Cheek, if you believe England fans. I'll just leave that there for a minute, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're an English footballer, being able to kick a ball straight is quite an ability at times. True. Of course, you're all in the under-19s or under-17s team, then, you know, I don't know, maybe Harry Winks was in that squad. I've got no idea. He comes on for Dembele. I thought the really telling thing was when Ali and Kane went off. As soon as they were subbed, I just thought, yeah, that's it. We've got this game. I had no worries then. I know they hadn't been at their best. Yeah, it was weird because they weren't at their best, but again, not trying to give him too much credit. He is the sort of player, that fucking Mong up front, who can get a goal out of nothing. And when he went off, I was very happy. The one perhaps controversial bit of the game, I don't suppose anyone's really going to care because we won, was the Lacazette substitution. Chris, you're a huge Lacazette fan. Probably the biggest out of all of us here at ABW. You're also probably the only Coquelin fan, perhaps, besides maybe Josh. I think Josh often defends Coquelin, and he normally says it's the manager's fault for playing him out of position to try and defend him in some way. What did you make of that substitution? Because there was a lot of people who were looking at that and saying, I understand bringing Coquelin on. Even Cole said in the chat, didn't you, Cole, that, you know, I never thought I'd say this, but it's time maybe to bring on Coquelin. Because there was a few little gaps in midfield showing up, and we were giving a bit more possession to him, which we expect because we were hitting on the counter. But wouldn't Xhaka have been the more sensible one just because he was on that yellow card? What do you think is going on with the whole Lacazette, not finishing 90 minutes, that kind of thing?
I think there's so many ways you could look into this. First thing, the 65 minute thing. If people haven't worked out that Arsene Wenger likes to substitute around about 65 minutes by now, I don't know what to tell you. He's only been there 20 years and it's only happened every year he's been there. So I think that's it's one of those things that people seem to like to beat him with stick wise. And it's like, well, he's always done it. So why is it a new thing? So that's that side of things. I wouldn't have brought off Xhaka. I think that it was always going to be a forward player that he brought off because he wanted a three-man midfield. I did think Coquelin was the right man at the time, just that sort of little bit of energy and ability to get around the pitch if needed. And it was always going to be one of those front three. I actually thought maybe Alexis could have been the one that he went for. But the wider thing about the Lacazette thing, I do understand people that are frustrated that he doesn't start the big games. That I will completely understand. I do get that to a degree. But this is, again, something that Arsene Wenger's always done. He did it with Wiltord. He's done it with Pires. He did it with Reyes. Even Thierry Henry. You know, he didn't start every game when he first came. And I just think it's one of those... It's not a trust thing. It's a playing a game situation. He starts a lot of the home games, for example, not so many of the away games. And I think there's a bit of protection in it and a bit of adjustment in it. And we do play differently at home and then we do away. So it doesn't always suit Laka to play away from home and start certain games. So I'm not hugely surprised. I've seen some people saying that Giroud, part of the reason he stayed was he has a clause in his contract that says he has to get minutes. What a load of old people. Honestly, people believe anything. But no, I think the one thing that I didn't like, which it does bug me, I know the atmosphere was fantastic today. We had Neil that was there at the game. He said it was brilliant. People booing substitutions, just grow up. Like, you know, when you've had 20 years management experience at the top level, then you can voice your opinion. Until then, just, you know, we're winning the game. That sort of thing, that element of negativity can affect players. And I just think you've just got to trust in the decisions made. And if we were 1-0 up or really massively under the cosh, I'd have sort of gone, not sure I'd have taken him off there. The other thing is as well, when he came off, he looked shattered. He'd put a lot of work in. Whereas Alexis, you know, even when he's got one leg hanging off, it's like the knight in bloody Monty Python, you know, it's just a flesh wound. He'll just keep running no matter what. So I'm not really surprised that he moved Alexis up front, and I'm not really surprised that Laka was the one to come off. I do get why people are frustrated. He's a, you know, he's a multi-million pound signing, but if it keeps him fresh for the rest of the season when we really need him in games that we are losing, for example, I'm fine with it. So I think people maybe just overreact a little bit, in my opinion.
Can I play devil's advocate now? Sorry, Chris. The guy's been playing one game a week. And let's face it, he has been, because he's not played any European games. So he literally has been playing one game a week. So you're saying keep him fresh for the latter part of the season. Now, if he was in the Champions League, he would be playing two games a week. He would be more than likely starting the European games, and he would be more than likely starting the league games as well. So for me, and I get what you're saying, Chris, and to an extent, I do agree with you. And I'll be honest with you, before you started what you said, I was totally didn't agree with you, but I do kind of agree with you now. But for me, it doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, because to play one game a week, 60 minutes, how can you justify? You can't say he's getting tired, because if you're getting tired after playing one game a week, 60 minutes, then we have a real problem. Like, genuinely, as a professional footballer, if you're playing one game a week for 60 minutes, we genuinely have a real problem. And I understand the adjustment thing, and that's where I agree with you. You got to take time for someone to adjust into the way we play, into the league, you know, because maybe he's not ready for the physicality of the Premier League, because Ligue 1 is not as physical as the Premier League, and I get that. But to still this, I personally, I can't get my head around. If he was in the Champions League, he would 100% be playing two games a week, but now he's playing one game a week, and we're saying we want to keep him fresh for what? For still playing one game a week, because in the early parts of the FA Cup, he's not going to play. He hasn't played in the League Cup games. So I this is what I'm sort of really trying to find. I'm hard getting my head around, because I don't understand it.
Maybe there's an element of, and I know what people will immediately say about this, maybe there is an element of Arsene Wenger trying his best to play the two want-away players as much as he can. You know?
Andy H just put that in the chat.
Yeah.
Does Lacazette get dubbed off have anything to do with trying to appease Ozil and Sanchez in hopes of them getting a new contract? And we had a few questions about that, about January and whether they go then in the summer and whatever. And we'll come on to that later. But I do think it might come into his mind, because just before you go on to that, Chris, I think we've seen before, whenever we've had a player that's wanted to leave, Arsene, barring Will Todd, I think...
Even he got frozen out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he got frozen out, but I was going to say him. He was the exception, because a lot of other players who Arsene even knew he was going to sell or was going to probably go, he kept playing them right until the end of their contract to try and convince him to stay. You know, Nasri, Adebayor, Van Persie, Fabregas.
The all Ox of those. Is the big one, doesn't he?
Yeah, Ox is the obviously.
Before he sold him. Yeah,
is the big one. I think with Will Todd, he was less worried and maybe didn't think he needed him, and at the time obviously he was proved right, but he clearly, obviously, any manager would want Alexis and Ozil to stay in their squad. They're two fantastic players, so I do think it is something you might see for the rest of the season, that they might get favoured a little bit more. And let's be honest, they are the stars of the team, but the problem then comes later on in the season. If they do go in January or they do go at the end of the summer, then people will go back to those games and say, oh well, Lacazette should have played longer and you shouldn't have played these two because you knew they were going, you know. But yeah, it's definitely something to watch throughout the season.
And even so, and if he does start playing 90 minutes, how do you build up your tolerance of playing 90 minutes if your body's not used to it? So if your body is sort of used to playing 60, 70 minutes, when it comes to the latter parts of the games, your body's never going to be used to kicking on for those extra 10, 20 minutes. So again, it's weird how it's November and how many 90 minutes has he played? 2, 3 maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
That's a bit weird.
I do think, firstly, just by the way, we've won a game in November. Hurrah!
Yeah, that's true.
I do wonder if he, maybe prove wrong here, I have a sneaking suspicion that he might get, I might get a lot more Europa League games now we're through in that next stage. Because if you look at the teams that are likely to drop out of the Champions League, I think there's a lot of teams that are better than maybe we would have hoped that are going to drop in. Yeah. That's not a reason to not play him now, because that's obviously what, 4 months away. But I do think he will be playing those two games a week come that period of time. And it, like you said earlier, Carl, I think there's an adjustment phase. I can't work out the resting thing other than he's being cautious. But the adjustment thing I can sort of understand. I think even Lacazette himself has come out and said it's a lot more physical than he expected it to be. And the running element is a lot more than he expected. So I could sort of see that. But like John, I think there's more to it than just Laka and what he's doing. I think it's more about those other two and keeping them happier and giving them as many minutes as they can. Because come January, I mean, or even come August, we don't know whether we're even going to get offers for the two. Man City don't need Alexis, and there wasn't much interest for Mesut. So they might even end up staying because there's nowhere else to go. So we shall see. But yeah, I think playing them is probably logical. And fair play, both put in a shift today. You can't knock either of them today, especially Mesut. I haven't seen him run that much for yonks.
Yeah, he was really good today. We'll come on to individual performances now, because, the second half, basically after those sort of substitutions, the Lacazette one, obviously Iwobi came on a bit later for Mesut, who got a standing ovation, which was really nice to see. Arsenal fans, I mean, at the stadium today, obviously wasn't there, but it really came through when you were watching on TV. And like Chris said, our friend Neil was there today and said the atmosphere was superb. It was like that from the get-go, which is really nice to see. And they really showed their appreciation today for Ozil and for all the players, which is nice. But the game kind of, not petered out, but, you know, we let Tottenham have the ball. They were hitting it long and we did some nice counter-attacks. It was maybe one where I thought Alexis's first touch was a little bit heavy, with the one where he sort of took it in and tried to chip over Lloris, and then did the little slide in his chest afterwards in frustration. But other than that, you know, we were just really solid and saw the game out. So I just want to go through a few individual players. We'll start with Ozil, Chris. Man of the match today. He's had loads of criticism throughout his career at Arsenal, and especially this season. Lots of people saying he doesn't care because, you know, he's going to leave the club anyway. Doesn't want to get himself injured. Never goes in for 50-50s. Yes, he's good going forwards. He'll get you assists. Not clinical enough in front of goal. Doesn't track back enough. Doesn't do enough running. Never tackles. All that kind of thing. Even I said, you know, before the game, I thought maybe he shouldn't start. But total different performance today. When you compare this one with, the Man City game, it looks like a totally different player.
It does, yeah. It's such a... It's going to be really weird. When we look back in 10, 15 years, even 5 years, and we say, like, how good was Mesut Ozil? I think the problem is that when we signed Mesut, we thought we were getting the player that played in the Real Madrid system. And it's important to mention that, because a lot of people now, you know as well as I did, John, we get to watch a lot of football from around the world now, and you get to see these players. 10 years ago, when we signed, I don't know, even Dennis Bergkamp, for example, people knew he was a world-class Dutch international, but other than the fact Serie A was on Channel 4, God bless it, back in the day, we hadn't seen a lot of him. Really. And even if you go back to the days of even Overmars, Petit, not many people had seen these players play. With Mesut, we'd seen him on Sky playing for Real Madrid. We'd seen him in that free-flowing attacking diamond system and pulling the strings with Di Maria and the like. And then obviously we signed him, and he immediately was in a different formation, a different setup, a different style under a different coach. And I don't think we've ever really properly taken the reins off of him. And even for Germany, he's playing that sort of central midfield role now. And the difference with Germany is that they play, there's different players, different level of players, and they play them in a different system. And with us, I don't always want to see him running around constantly like headless chicken because it's not his game. I think the problem he suffers with the most is what I call Letizia syndrome, is that sometimes he just doesn't look like he's interested. And it's not that he isn't, it's just his body language and the way he plays. And when you look at graphics and heat maps and individual highlights, you see that he does do an awful lot more than people see maybe on the television or if you're there live. Carl will tell you, you know, you see a lot more in a play when you see him live. But when he does what he does today and he does all of the things he does brilliantly and he puts a shift in, that's when you say, okay, we don't want you charging around wasting energy and just, you know, headless chicken. But sometimes just that little bit of closing down the space, that little bit of tracking back. There was one tackle where he made where, I'll be honest, it was a bit half-hearted where it's a 50-50 on the edge of the box, but he still got a foot in. And that little bit of aggression in the tackle, even though he didn't actually win the tackle, stops the breakaway from an opposition player. And it's when he performs like he did at Anfield, for example, where you look at him and go, you're a passenger. And that's the key with Mez. It's consistency. And I think it has to come from the manager a bit as well in saying, this is how we want you to play and this is what we want you to do. Not, okay, Mesut, you're world class, go and do what you want to do. This is what we want you to do. If he's happy to do that, then let's have that every week. The trouble is, you know as well as I do, next week we'll be sat here going, well, where was Mesut? So it's consistency and it's that ability to find the player that we all hoped we'd have or the player that we actually have.
Yeah, I mean, I get fed up criticising Ozil, and I've done it a lot this season. When he plays like that, that's when you see why he's called world-class, because he did both sides of the game brilliantly today, and he was superb. And he even almost made a goal with his right foot, which is very rare. Whenever I see him kick the ball with a right foot, I always think, oh, you look so uncomfortable doing that. but it was really, really, really good today. Carl, I want to talk about his fellow countryman, the other German in our squad, or not in our squad, sorry, in the team today, Mustafi, straight back into the team for a really big game and didn't look like he'd been injured at all. He was superb today, wasn't he?
Very much so. Today, I think he was, like I said earlier, it's probably one of the best performances I've seen him in an Arsenal shirt. He, you know, like I said, the running joke about him slide tackling, but all his slide tackles were absolutely brilliant today. His positioning, the goal, just very, very good today. And, you know, I know towards the beginning of the season, there was sort of speculation about him maybe leaving. You know, performances like this, I'm glad we kept him. I'm very much so happy that we kept him. And, you know, next season is another season and we don't know if he'll stay or not. We'll see. But right now, I think that we need to build on these performances. And like I said, I know it's North London derby and everyone gets excited about these derbies. And rightly so, you know, very much rightly so. But again, as I said before, let's see if we can next week, you know, if it's up in Burnley, let's see if we can do exactly the same thing there, because it'll be a different type of game. We know what Burnley's going to sort of provide. They're going to, you know, lump it up. They're not going to play along the floor. They are going to sort of hit the balls in and try hit us on the break, and because they're not going to have much of the ball. We know that, but we're going to have so much more of the ball, and it's about concentration as well. Let's see if he can sort of stay fully focused, because when we've got the ball for, you know, 10, 20 minutes and then they have a lucky break, let's see if he can sort of focus and, you know, break up their attacks. It's going to be a totally different ball game to what Tottenham provided with us. So let's see if he can push on. And then obviously the next week we got Man United, and let's see if he can have another brilliant game.
Yeah, he really was good today. I was really impressed with him. It's so difficult to come back into a team when you're not, you know, he'll be fit, but having match fitness is a completely different thing and being switched on, because he hasn't played for quite a while now and he's just getting up to the speed of the game. And it was paid with some real pace today, the game as well, which I really enjoyed. But it wasn't just him, the whole defence for all of the back three. You know, Nacho's been great this season. He's really shone since we've gone to that back three. And Koscielny, who again has had a little bit of criticism as well, I thought was really good today. Just that one error, but other than that, was solid in the tackle, made some great blocks, flattened Dele Alli a couple of times, which I personally really enjoyed. Xhaka flattening Dele Alli was great. Ramsey kicking Dembele as hard as he could was a real pleasure to see that as well. I just want to give a little shout to Petr Cech as well. Didn't have too much to do today, but that one save that he adjusted for, I think it was Eric Dier's header, Chris. Yeah. It checks going to his left and then has to switch back to his right. We're both in our 30s. We can't move very quickly. All right. Arguably, we're not professional footballers, but we know how difficult that is to do.
Yeah, there's no argument. We're definitely not professional footballers. Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing with Petr Cech is he's actually been pretty good this season. I have to be honest. I was in the camp of not so sure last season. There was some creaking bones. I think this season he's actually gone up a level. He looks sort of more like the keeper we hope we get. The only thing you've got to worry about is what's coming up behind him age-wise. You know, he's not getting any younger and reaction time is only going to go so far. Dave Seaman proved that in his latter days before he moved. It just sort of went all of a sudden. That's my only worry. But no, the save was very good. He commands his penalty area. I think having someone like Nacho Monreal in that back three has helped Cech because he's now got a mobile centre-half that he can bowl the ball out to. He's got somebody who can move in and out. Koscielny is pretty mobile, but obviously with this Achilles issue, he's not always willing to take the ball to feet from the back, whereas Mustafi and particularly Monreal always are. So he's always got an option to give it out early. And again, the fullbacks, Kolasinac and Bellerin push on. So he's got an out ball, but his command of the penalty area is good. His one-on-one situations, I always feel fairly confident that he'll make a big save when it matters. And that save was crucial because at that particular point in the game, you know, if that goes in or if he doesn't flick that away from the on-rushing players, they get one back with sort of 15 to play, it's all change. And I think the other thing I've noticed this season is he seems to be a lot more vocal. I don't know whether he was as vocal last season, but this year you even hear him on the TV. It's that sort of vocal. So obviously when you're in the ground, you probably do as well. So no, fair play to him. As I say, I think we've got a long-term issue. I think we've still got to deal with the goalkeeping situation. But right now, he's clearly the right man in the sticks and all power to him today.
Yeah. We're going to go into questions now. We're trying to keep the shows to an hour. We're going to go over a little bit today because we're about 50 minutes in. So if you do have any questions in the chat, please do fire away. I've already got a load that I've taken. The Wars and the Hedgehog says, I'm Cech's age. My back would have given out after that dire save and I'd still be on the pitch in the fetal position. I feel you, mate. We'd all be there. We'll get into the questions. So DLM has been pestering me in the chat, the Man United fan, the whole way through the show. So anyone who's listening to this afterwards, this is the question he's been trying to ask. Why are Arsenal trying to build a relationship with Ozil and Sanchez with Lacazette when they are both leaving? Chris, you haven't been on the show for a while. You can have that one.
It's a difficult one because look, as long as they're Arsenal players, you have to play them. You have to play your strongest side. I was listening to somebody recently. I can't remember what pod it was on or what show it was on, but somebody was saying about the fact that Arsene Wenger was kind of done if he didn't kind of situation about Alexis, because if he'd have sold him on deadline day, as he obviously decided he might do, that would have been us surrendering our best player. And yet he's kept him and people have slacked him off ever since because he's now not committed, etc. So you can't really win. I think there is still a chance both could stay. I think it's a very unlikely chance. You know, even I'm realistic enough to know that both players look to be players that maybe have got their heads elsewhere. Particularly last weekend, I thought Alexis was really poor 2 weeks ago. At Man City, just never looked to be team focused. It was all about him and trying to make an impression. And then you see things today and you just go, there is still players there and there is still a bit of passion there. I did think it was interesting in the celebration for the first goal that the last two over were Alexis and Ozil. I'm sure that's just a very trivial thing. It's just something I noticed and chuckled. But I think as long as they're at the club, you've got to play them. I think people would get even more angry if we'd have turned up today and it had been Welbeck and Iwobi over Alexis and Ozil. I just think people would have been like, what are you doing? So yeah, long run, I think realistically, if both go, Lacazette will have two potential new partners to play with. I think we will be looking to bring in players if those two go, because they are our two best players. And for that reason, that's why you've got to play them. If they win games and we end up finishing the top four, which, let's be realistic, is our aim this season, I don't think anyone's going to moan too much. And if we do sell them in January, that's a big if. But if we do, we have to replace them in January, not think, oh, we can just get through and scrabble together with what we got. We'll have to replace one, or if not both, if they both go.
Absolutely, I agree with that. Carl, we've got one here from Wadib6. What do you guys think Wenger should do if Ozil and Alexis leave in January? This is a hot topic.
the obvious answer is replace him. You know, there's no way, like Chris said, there's no way we can think that we can string it out another 5 months and go big in the summer. It's not the option because a lot of teams, it depends. I guess it does depend on where we are in this in January in the league, but he cannot go into January losing arguably our two best players and not replace them. And the problem is if they go in January to get like for like replacements or replacements of the same quality as them is going to be very hard. It's going to be very hard to try and prize someone away because anyone that good is already going to be in the Champions League, you know, more than likely. Now, to try and prize someone away from a Champions League squad to come say, oh, yeah, come play in the Europa League, like, that's going to be extremely difficult. So, unfortunately, I think it's going to be very hard. I personally don't think we will let them go in January for that reason. You know, at certain times, you've got to look at it and say, okay, money's not the be-all and end-all because the only reason why we will be sending them is for the money. It's so they don't leave on a total three. So I think that if you can get, you know, we was in talks with Thomas Lamar, and if we can get him, you know, by all means, they let one of them go. You know, I'm going to let Chris's trousers get a bit shorter, but if we can get Nabil Fekir, you know, someone along that ilk, you know, it will be very, both. Very good. Or both, you know, the likelihood of getting both of them, let's face it, slim to none. Chris, would you say?
What, to get both or one?
To get both of them.
Both probably a little bit difficult because realistically they both play similar positions, although Fekir can play a 10 and Lamar can play a 10. He's better sort of wider. I don't think from everything I can gather, the Lamar deal is not dead. It was very, very close. The only thing that cocked it up really on the deadline day was we left it so damn late. And we obviously left it so late because we left the Alexis decision late. The deal was there to be done. That one couldn't be resurrected. I think there's further talks planned. And it's just one of those that it's dominoes. You know, we're not going to sign a player like that without one of the two big players going. The one thing I hope is that if we do begin talks with a player like that again, get the talks done in January so you're ready for one of those two leaving, if they do leave. And I think the only way we let either Alexis or Ozil go in January is big money.
Do you think you will get that in January? I mean, if they offered Man City offered 50 mil in August, do you think we're going to get 50 mil in January? More than likely not. You're probably thinking, what, 25 to 30?
25. Yeah, I think if we got offered 25, I actually think we would take it. Because if you look at, for example, Lamar is going to cost you in the region of about 50. So if you're thinking you can get half of his transfer fee or wages paid, you're probably going to take that deal. And obviously that depends on form and injury and all that jazz. But I do think we'd take it. The other sort of ominous vulture in the room at the moment is PSG. All is not particularly rosy in their garden at the moment, and they're going to be expected to make signings in the winter, if they're pushing for Champions League. Draxler is one that is possibly able to be got out of there. He's actually said he's happy to stay, but that's all very well saying it when the World Cup year and you're not playing in January. I wonder. And Di Maria is almost certainly going to move on in January because he's not being played there. So,
I mean, maybe we could also look for a player for player swap, can't we? I mean, if it was sort of Sanchez for Draxler, you know, I mean, I'd bite your right hand off for that. But you know, if Arsene Wenger had that on his plate, would he take it? You'd hoping that you'd see that and think, well, you know, maybe we could go for something like that.
Yeah, the only trouble with that is that if you're talking swap deal, I don't think we'll get any cash at all. I think PSG will say, that's fine, we'll swap the players, but that's it. I don't think we'll get any cash. And in theory, you know, Draxler, for example, is using him as an example, is a lot younger player with a lot more potential. So that may not be a bad move. If you're saying someone of Di Maria's age, it's a massive risk because of, you know, the fact his age and he's not performed in England before. So, yeah, if you're looking at a swap deal, yeah, there's an option there. But in terms of someone like that's probably in January. In terms of someone like Fekir, you're looking more at next summer because he's not going to move in January in a World Cup year when he's just found his best form again. So I wouldn't actually be against us not buying top established stars if the prices are right on up and coming players. Because I think it's not just Alexis and Ozil we've got to look at. We've also got to look at poor old Santi Cazorla.
Jack Wilshere as well. He's only got a year left. So, you know, if an offer comes in for him of 15 million, do you take 15 million for Jack?
Yeah.
You know, even things that you got to look at as well.
Even Xhaka and Ramsey, Coquelin, is there room for upgrade there? You know, I think I would certainly be keeping all of those. But if there's a player out there that you can sign that improves your midfield, go and get him. So, and we've all said, you know, we were talking about Seri, weren't we, all summer. I still think we're a player light in midfield. So it's not just about those two big players. There's still a lot of surgery needs to be done. But I hope we have to do, or I hope we can do it in the summer on the back of being back in the Champions League. Because I really do think we'll finish top four this year, which I know is one of the questions from someone else. So let's hope so, because that'll be key to the money we're going to get.
Okay. Jeffrey O'Hara asked, it was for you, Chris, it was about Fekir, whether you buy into the rumours of us buying him. As you said, if it's going to happen, it would be summer.
Yeah. Yeah, we're still in. And we've always, I think, was it Philippe Auclair? We're not stupid enough, despite what people think, to not be in for players like that. But the trouble is, the more he continues to play like he is,
the more Barcelona are going to be interested.
Exactly. Real Madrid, etc.
And if they can't get Coutinho, then Fekir's Chris, another question for you. What position do you think Arsenal will finish this season?
I'll just keep it short. I think we'll finish third.
Fair enough. Yeah. Carl, any guesses?
Fourth.
Yeah. I think we can do top four. I think we're going to get some benefit from the fact that basically, other than Man City, everyone else is as inconsistent as us at the moment.
There's only two sides I think are massively ahead of us right now. Man City are one. I think Man United are the other, not in terms of how they're playing, but in terms of the fact they can go out in January again and spend.
I just think they're a bit more consistent and solid than us. Yeah. They might not be as spectacular playing at times. I actually think they've improved this year under Jose.
It's the Jose factor, that they know how to get a result if they really need one.
Yeah.
And they got Zlatan's back today as well, isn't he?
Zlatan's back. And Champions League will be the key for Man United. You know, how deep they go in that tournament will affect how well they perform, I think.
Yeah. Okay. We'll try and speed up through these last few questions. K-Man Arsenal Forever asks, if you can only sign one of Sanchez and Ozil, who do you sign? Carl, which one do you sign?
Any other day, I would have said Ozil. Sanchez. Any other day, I would have said Sanchez. But I just think that with Ozil, we can utilize him just a little bit more. I think the problems that Sanchez had last season, you know, and also the problems that he had with Ramsey at the beginning of this season, they're still going to be there. So if you have him, unless you can definitely iron out those issues, then I'd keep Sanchez all day. I just think that, I'm not saying he's a troublemaker, I don't, but I just don't think he fits well into our squad. So if I'm thinking now, I'm going to say Ozil.
Fair enough. Chris?
I know I'm breaking the rules, but for me, it's both or neither.
Fair enough. As usual, Chris is back, so he doesn't answer the questions properly.
I just think you need a completely fresh start with two new players in those positions, because they're not just like a right back and a left winger. They're key areas. Yeah. You've got to rebuild a team. And let's be honest, if Alexis stays or Mesut stays, they're not going to sign four-year contracts. They'll sign one more year and we'll be back in a year's time. So both or neither for me.
Yeah. K-Man, I'll answer your question. I would only sign Sanchez. No disrespect for Ozil. He was superb today, but Alexis scores goals and that's exciting. And he winds up other players, especially when we're winning. He nutmegs people for no reason just to piss them off. That's brilliant. Walrus and Hedgehog, Arsenal win every match until January and they're playing great and clicking up front. Will there be a chance either re-sign? We kind of already talked about that. I think we're all of the opinion. There's like a very tiny, I don't know, like 5% chance that maybe. I think if it happens, it's only going to be one of the two. And I think it's probably more likely Ozil than Sanchez, to be honest, just because I think Ozil is a harder player to fit into teams, because you often have to build a team kind of around him. He's that kind of player. Chris, one from Lazy Python. Will Fekir make a good replacement for Santi? Can he? That's a good question. Can he play centre mid? Because I've always seen him more as a 10 or one of the attacking mid, sort of either side of a striker.
Yeah, it's what I've wondered about for a while. Yes, he can. but I think he would be a little bit wasted there. We've seen Man City do it with De Bruyne as well. Yes, he can. The two big concerns I'd have if we did is, A, he's only just coming back to his best form after a year out with the ACL injury, and that's a position, as Santi well knows, that you're going to take a lot of kicks, you're going to take a lot of physical attention, and you're going to take a lot of marking. So there's pressure going to be on you all there, whereas when you're a 10, you can dip in and out and do the mezza, if you will. So that's my one worry. My only other worry as well is when you're trying to sign a player at the top of their game, and the opening line you go in with is, yeah, I'd see you as a deep-lying playmaker when they're playing their best football, their career as a number 10, it doesn't necessarily set out the right impression from day one. So I would rather us get a creative, deep-lying playmaker, again, I've mentioned him, but in a Seri mould, who's more likely to do the job you're asking him to do, as well as have a little bit more, rather than taking a player out of the position they're best in and trying to recreate them. So yeah, I'd definitely sign him 100%, but I wouldn't be looking to play him deep. No.
Okay. One from Alonso Spencer for you, Carl. Are you guys still worried about Xhaka's ridiculous tackling? Can he correct it, or should we fans just accept this is how he plays?
This is him now. You know, this is the way. I mean, John, you're probably best fit to answer because you've watched him in the Bundesliga. But I think this is the way he is. This is how he is. I don't think his tackling is just ridiculous. I just think he makes stupid decisions at the wrong time. I think that's what it is. And we're not going to get it out of him, because if he try and get it out of him, maybe his game's going to completely change. And that's what we don't really want to do. So today I was very worried. I said it in our group that I thought it was just one tackle away from a red card. And he doesn't seem to have a composure button, because he was still going into challenges. It's just the fact that he was winning these challenges that he was going in for. Because every time he went near the ball with a player, I was like, no, 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 please, please, please. But I guess your best answer to this one. So how was he like in the Bundesliga? Was he the same, or is his game changed?
Well, before he left his last season, I think he picked up 3 red cards before the winter break. Then after that, he was fine. He was very calm. But yeah, in that first half of the season, he really wasn't at all. And previous to that, he did make mistakes in silly challenges, and he was a bit hothead kind of player. So it's in him, and it's something I don't think you're ever going to beat out of him. It's, like you said, it's having the awareness in the games when you are on a yellow to calm down a little bit and try to ease out of tackles. I think the other thing people have to understand is if you're playing that position, you're going to pick up bookings regardless. It's just natural with that. If you play centre mid, you are likely to at some point in the season get a suspension. And Xhaka's kind of a bit of a target now for referees because he's got that reputation. So I do think sometimes he's unfairly done. But today we got through it. Luckily, I was worried that maybe he'd get the second yellow. He didn't, so it's all good. So I'm glad he stuck the boot in. And we got away with it. One from Stan the Man. Are the panel sold on the back three, or would you prefer to go to a back four? Quick answer on this, Carl. What do you think?
Keep it. We're winning with a three, so three.
Yep. Chris?
Yeah, keep it for now. Long-term four for me. Always been more fan of a four.
Yeah. I'd prefer a four just because I think we can get an extra man in midfield if we do that. But yeah, like Carl said, winning at the moment, so no need to change it. One from Liam. Liam, I know we all hate Spurs players. Oh, I best not ask this, Chris. But Sanchez, Davinson Sanchez, I thought was a beast for them. Need to do a Sol Campbell on him. Carl, what do you think?
Let's face it, he was quite good today. I can't give their players credit because I hate it. I hate their club. I hate just everything about them. I can't wait to go to work on Monday because I'm working with a Spurs supporter on Monday, and I seriously cannot wait to. And this is what these games are about. When I go into work on Monday, I'm going to have the biggest grin on my face, and I am going to work him like a slave. Like I am. I'm going to make sure he does everything and everything every time. Like I'm going to email him. I've already emailed him twice today already with the score. Like that's how much that these sort of games like mean to me. So I can't wait. But no, I don't want any tainted Spurs players sort of in our squad. I know we talk about Sol Campbell, and yeah, it was great to get him, you know, brilliant, but you know, time's moved on now, and like my hatred for them has grown. So he's a good player, just like Harry Kane is a good player, let's face it, he actually is. But no, I don't want any of their players in my squad.
That's can you fair. Can you at least get one mind the gap across the tannoy on Monday, please? just one. Or better still, get him to do it. Even better.
Oh, I can't wait for work Monday.
Chris, I won't ask you that question. I'll tell you what I do. We'll go back in time and we'll pretend Davinson Sanchez is still at PSV. Was it PSV he was at?
Ajax.
Ajax, yeah. Would you sign Davinson? Would you like to see Davinson Sanchez of Ajax, maybe at Arsenal in the future?
No, because you can't go back on these things. He's tainted now. To be honest, even when he was at Ajax, he looked all right. But I think there were better players. Lenglet at Sevilla, I like a lot. Samuel
French, Lentici. Obviously, he's going to like him, isn't he?
French as well. there's a guy in the Bundesliga. Oh, actually, no, he's French as well. Pavard, he plays for Leverkusen. I'm fine with what we've got. I know people aren't always sold on Koscielny, but I think on his day he's top quality. Mustafi is, yes, he could be rash, but he's very talented. Monreal has been a revolution since moving him inside. And I think when you've got someone like Rob Holding and Callum Chambers, who some people say he signed a new contract because we can sell him a higher. But if we do keep him, there's a player in there. Centre halves are hard to find. Sanchez is, he's all right. But as I say, he's one of them now, so fuck him.
Yeah, fair enough. For what it's worth, Liam, I actually thought, he was their best player. And I did quite like the look of him because he's massive and powerful and can smash the fuck out of people. But as he plays for them, I couldn't give a shit. Right, two more questions and then we are all done. MSN asks, Ozil and Sanchez leave for a free. How much would we have to spend to get players of the same quality to replace them? You can't put a figure on it. It's such a hard question to answer. Depends who's available. We were lucky that Sanchez at the time, it was only us and Liverpool really in for him, and we got him for a very good price. If you consider we bought Alexis Sanchez for 35 million, that's absurd.
And we bought football players.
Was it 42?
Yeah. And we got both players when both clubs were willing to sell. That's another key thing, isn't it?
That's the big thing. If we're going in, first of all, trying to replace either of those two with players of the same quality is extremely difficult, because players of that quality, generally speaking, might be at one or two Premier League clubs. Man City have obviously got quite a few, but they've got a lot of money. But most of them play for Real Madrid, Barcelona and Bayern Munich, pretty much, didn't they? They keep that because they're in a very different tier ability-wise. So I think, like Chris said earlier, we've got more chance of getting the players who are going to become the next Ozil and Sanchez rather than ones that are already established. I do still think we'd have to go and buy one name player, one established player, perhaps. And maybe that is a Draxler or someone like that.
One over. I don't think any of the three of us think we're going to go out and sign two world-class players, do we? It'd be one plus maybe two players to step up. I know this is slightly controversial, and I know a lot of people will laugh at this. I think Iwobi's got a massive future at Arsenal. I really do. I know he can be frustrating. I know that there's this thing about his fitness, or, some people think that potentially doesn't run for 90 minutes or can't. I really think if played in the right role...
suits him.
I agree. In a 10, but maybe when Mesut moves on, I think he's got a really big future, that kid.
When you watch him play for Nigeria. You see him playing as a second striker or as a 10, you see the best out of him.
He's like he's let off his leash.
So again, we see Arsenal with young players. He does this, plays them wide and doesn't let them come inside too much to try and protect him a bit. So maybe we see a bit more of that next season. But in terms of them two, I think as long as we make one marquee signing, then I'll be happy. And then I think, like Chris said, it's more likely that we go for an up-and-coming player, someone who's not quite at that level but got the ability to. We've got a couple of fun questions to finish on. Daniel Cronin, favourite Led Zeppelin song? I assume it's because I'm wearing a T-shirt. It changes all the time, but probably at the moment it's Friends off Led Zeppelin 3. Chris, do you have a favourite Led Zeppelin song?
That's really, really weird, because that's the first one that came to my mind. I'll say the same. Also, sad day in the music industry, John. Did you see the AC/DC news today?
I did not know.
Yes. What's his face has passed away. Yeah, so a sad day for AC/DC fans in the music industry, but another one gone too soon.
Malcolm Young. 64. Oh, Jesus.
Co-founder. So, but yes, no, I would agree with you on that one. Yeah.
Oh, are you a Led Zeppelin fan at all?
No.
Surely you must have been. That. Can't believe that.
That's unbelievable. That's terrible. Right, two more questions. One from Usama Zaka. In celebration of blasting away their chicken balancing on a ball, which chicken-based dish would you eat today? Cahole.
Tomorrow I'm going to my mummy's house, which I haven't been in for ages, and we're going to have chicken tomorrow. So I would have stewed chicken, which I'm going to have tomorrow at my mummy's house.
Nice. Chris?
Just pure roasted, bastardized, destroyed cockerel is always good. Any form of battered cockerel is fine. I made a nice chicken dish last week for the missus, so I've still got some left in the fridge, so maybe I'll have that to celebrate. Or if not, a korma is always good, isn't it? But anything chicken orientated is fine with me.
I'm a fan of some jerk chicken. I do love me some jerk chicken. That's super.
I've heard you do like a good jerk.
Oh, it's like you never left, Chris.
I know, it's good enough.
And last question for the day. Everyone in the chat has been asking, what do you think of Tottenham?
I was going to say shit, definitely.
Yeah, and what do you think of shit?
Tottenham, I think, yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's all right.
That's all right.
No problem.
All right, that is us all wrapped up for today. Thank you so much, chat. Thank you to the Man United fan who popped in as well. It was very nice of you. All fans are welcome. Well, except for them, obviously. But yeah, thanks to everyone getting involved. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button, the thumbs up button. Give us a retweet. Give us a follow on Twitter and everything else. So much for interacting. And happy day. Nothing to complain about. Brilliant. So we've got a perfect weekend. Best way you can start it off. And enjoy yourselves. So I'll just say thank you to Chris for coming on today.
Pleasure, mate. I'll be back again at some point soon. Nice to be back with the crew.
Yeah, it was great to have you back, mate. Carl, thank you as always.
Thank you for having me. It's always good to speak about a good win, and it's always good to speak about a win over that lot.
Yeah, absolutely. We will be back for the, who's it? Essie Cone? Is it Cone?
Yes.
Yeah, Thursday. And that is a 6 o'clock kickoff. So we'll be on around, well, I don't know, like 8 o'clock, I think, ish time. Yeah, is the early kickoff, isn't it? So, we will see you all again then. So I hope you join us for the Cologne game. Maybe see some of the youngsters again. See Reece Nelson and Ashley Maitland-Niles and the rest.
All out of the pitch.
Conservative, of course. Thank you again. And we will speak to you very soon. Up the Arsenal.